Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So this armor that we've been learning about, it's a good thing. Can we agree? Most of this has been good and positive and can impact and transform our lives as Christians. And if you've missed any of the pieces of the armor, you can go back and listen online, and it's in a variety of different places. If you need help with that, let me know, and we will get you taken care of so that you can go back and listen to those. But today, we're going to step away from the armor, and we're going to talk about our weapons. Because the reality is that even if I'm fully armored into who I am in Christ, and I've got no weapon, I'm probably going to lose the battle. But if we don't have weapons when you go into battle, I don't care how tough you are, how big your shield is, you will eventually lose if you don't have something to fight back with. So today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at the passage we've looked at for 6 weeks in a row. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And if you're using one of our Bibles there in front of you, that's on page 952. So these words should be pretty familiar. In the conclusion of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of the blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this spiritual darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit and at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So the first weapon that we see is pretty clear, isn't it? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I was told I couldn't buy a real sword because I might hurt somebody or myself, but I don't think I need to explain to you what the purpose of a sword is. Most of us have pretended that we've got one from time to time. Even an air sworder. If you're a child and you've never picked up a stick outside, then you've missed out on your childhood. We need to go outside right after church and get some sticks and have a sword fight. And then all the adults can say, don't do that. It's not nice to hit each other with sticks. We've all been there, right? But the sword is our offense. We've got all this stuff that is defensive. And the sword is our offense. The Word of God, the living scriptures of God. John Wesley, in his notes about this verse, says, in the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, this Satan cannot withstand. When it is edged and wielded by faith, till now all our armor has only been defensive. But we are to attack Satan as well as to secure ourselves. the shield of faith in one hand and the sword in the other. I think that's beautiful that we hold our faith and our shield in one hand and we carry our weapon, our word of God, in the other. Before I go any further, I want to make a statement that I'll probably forget. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I think it's very important for Christians to hear. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is meant to attack the enemy, Satan, not each other. We should never use anything out of this book to attack other people because it was not made for that. It was made to help us grow, to help us guide and correct each other in love, not to cause harm. Too many Christians today posting scripture on the internet just to hurt other people. Not in this church, but in other places. This is to fight the devil, not each other. Okay, off of that soapbox. All right, good. So now I just want you to listen. I'm not going to ask. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, it's on page 785. If you don't, I just want you to listen. But I think this will tell us why this weapon is so important. So anytime in my, and this is just me, anytime I want to see how can I take something I believe to be true in Scripture, and I want to go back and see how Jesus handled it. That's just how I approach Scripture. One of the ways. So in Matthew chapter 4, this is what's going on with Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, do you notice? When did the enemy come? He didn't come on day one. He came when we were weak. And if he's going to come when Jesus, the Son of God, the divinity in himself, if he's going to tempt him at his weakness, don't think you're beyond it. Because he'll tempt you when you're weak too. But then he goes on and he says, if you are the Son of God, there's the temptation, right, that we've talked about. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Brothers and sisters, we are starving for more in our lives, and we're trying to find it in other things, and the reality is all we need is in this book. It's the bread of life. Yet we'll feed ourselves on so many other things that will never, ever fulfill us. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. See Satan using the scriptures now? This is Satan using the scriptures. Don't you think the enemy is going to know where to get you? He's going to go to the scriptures. He's going to make you feel unworthy. And then he says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. There are times where the enemy will tell you it's okay to participate in this lifestyle or this sin because God's going to take care of you. Listen to what Jesus then says. He says, again it is written, do not put your Lord to God to test. Some of us need to quit testing God with the way we're living our lives. Jesus said, and then again the devil. See, the devil's not giving up yet, is he? And then he says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms in the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve him only. And then verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. In Luke's translation of that, he says the devil left for a more opportune time. The devil's work is never done. Just because he's leaving you alone now does not mean he's not planning something for later. If he's leaving you alone now, it means one of two things. You're succeeding and he's waiting on a more opportune time, or two, you're no threat to him, so he's not bothering you. We're getting real today, aren't we? Former heavyweight boxing champion, George Foreman. Y'all know the guy that made the grill? In 1974, before I went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave me a Bible to take along on my trip. And he said, George, keep this with you for good luck. And I believe the Bible was a shepherd's handbook, probably because the only verse I knew was, the Lord is my shepherd. But I was always looking for luck. Athletes will do it all the time. Coaches too. So I carried that Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms, and now I had a lucky Bible to add to my collection. But after I lost my fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I thought, the Bible didn't help me win, so why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply from owning it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe what it says. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm. Isn't that beautiful? This is not, I mean, do you know the average American, Christian American, has three Bibles in their home? And don't, you're going to go, that's crazy. Count before you say it's crazy. I thought it was crazy too, and we got like 12. But you know the book that'll collect dust the fastest? The Bible. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit tell you to pick it up and read it. I'm not going to tell you to. See what I did there? I told them without telling them. Our second weapon in our spiritual battle is not described as a weapon, but it's easy for us to see, and it's something we have to have if we're going to fight. Paul says, pray. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for the saints. And then Paul asks for the only thing he needs. He needs nothing in his life because of who he is in Christ, and he still asks for this. He says, pray also for me, so that when I will speak, that it'll be a message of the gospel, and I'll proclaim it boldly. Paul, that's all Paul needs, is for people to pray. Paul says, pray in the Spirit. That means to pray in every situation, to be always guided by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lately around here, we've talked about bold prayers. Too many times we ask God for simple prayers. And then we get upset because we only get simple results. Challenge yourself. Pray for something so crazy that it will take an act of God to accomplish, and then when it accomplishes, give thanks. That's what he does. Now, this is the one I thought was funny. The other one wasn't funny. This one's funny. Okay, I had them mixed up. This is about a young boy who was attending church in Kentucky, and the whole congregation watched as he got louder and louder and got in more trouble and more trouble until his dad picked him up and stormed out the back of the church. Anybody ever been there? Four of us. I've been there. And then everybody stops and looks, don't they? So as everybody stops and looks, the little boy screams out, y'all pray for me now. Told you that one was funny. Told you that one was funny. But that's what we do sometimes. We wait till we're desperate, don't we? We wait till it's too late. He should have been praying before he got started misbehaving. But no, daddy's carrying him out to whoop him, and now he wants to pray. But at least he knew to ask for prayers. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church, said, pray as if everything depends on God, but then work as everything depends on you. So we pray that everything depends on God. Then as we feel the prompting of the Spirit, we live in the Spirit as if everything depends on us. So again, let's look to Jesus. Jesus prays in the good times. In Matthew 14, after he fed 5,000 hungry people, it says these words, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, where he dismissed the crowds. And after dismissing them, he went up to him by himself to pray. Can we be honest for a minute? If I had just fed 5,000 people, I'm going to feel pretty good about myself. I might skip that prayer. I'll save it for another time. And don't look at me like that. Y'all would do the same thing. Because when we do something good in our lives, we don't need God in that moment, do we? We need to wait until it's bad because, man, I just fed all those people. All Caden did was give me a Happy Meal, and I fed everybody in Welford. I wouldn't be going, I need to go spend some time and pray because I'm really, I need to spend that time. No, I'm going to be pumped up about myself. But then we also see the opposite, don't we? Jesus prays in the hardest times of his life. In Matthew 26, it says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. We know what's about to happen, don't we? And he said this. He said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. When his life is on the line, he's praying. When he's performing miracles, he's praying. When he's on the cross, he's praying for you. See, sometimes we think he's just praying for the Roman soldiers killing him. He's praying for each and every sin that killed him, and that includes all of us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think it's beautiful. Then that's how we have to pray. We have to pray in the good times. When we're at the pinnacle of our lives and jobs are coming and success is coming, you better get on your knees and pray. Don't take time off, because that's when the enemy's going to be waiting on you. But when we're in the valley, when we can't see anything but darkness, fall on your knees and pray. It's what Jesus did. So we have a third weapon. This one's not even mentioned in the scripture, but I think you can't go into battle without it. Our third weapon is each other. Our third weapon is each other, and it is just as important as the scriptures. It is just as important as our prayer. We have to have each other. That's why in our membership vows we say prayer first, and then our presence. Our presence in a community of faith. Our presence in worship. Yeah, that means coming to church and getting your little gold star by your attendance name. Yeah, did y'all used to do that when you were young? I couldn't stand that, but we did it. But it also means doing life together. And I say this time and time again because it's in my blood, because I am Methodist to my core, and the way the revival started was through small accountability groups doing life together. If you do not have somebody who will hold you accountable for living like Jesus, pray for somebody and then have the courage to ask somebody. Because see, when we don't have to hold ourselves accountable, when we don't have to answer to anybody about how we live our lives, we'll sneak and do anything. Because nobody will ever find out about it. So we think. I never go on a trip or face any tough situation without texting one of two people and being very honest with the issues in my life and the needs that I have. And I tell them, pray, pray, pray. It's not comfortable, but it keeps us in line with Jesus. The times in my life where I have gotten off that narrow path have been the times I have not held myself accountable with somebody else. I know it sounds crazy. Try it. It will transform your life. So we've got the Word of God. We've got prayer. And we have each other. See, and it's not that we don't have weapons. We've got some great weapons. The reality is we just choose not to use them. So I want to challenge you today to hear these words that my dad gave me a long time ago. He said, you better never get in a fight. He was in education, and he knew that I would embarrass his name and my mom's name if I got in a fight at school. But if you do, you better not start it. And if you do, you better have. And then I had this friend who was stronger and bigger than me at the time, which I know that sounds crazy. He's not anymore, but he was. He said, you better make sure he's with you. And I was like, Daddy, no, I can fight now. But I was his little boy. He knew. He was, you can't fight. You make sure he's with you. My daddy knew, right? So church, our mission isn't to go get in a fight. Our mission is to stand firm, right? That's what Paul said. But if you're going to fight, don't get in a fight without those weapons. Don't get in a fight with the enemy without going to your word first. Don't get in a fight without praying for the Spirit to lead you. And don't dare get in a fight without talking to a brother and sister in Christ to support you. We've covered a lot this summer. We've talked about the reality that there is a spiritual battle. We don't fight each other. We fight a darkness and an enemy. We've talked about the belt of truth and how Jesus has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to get to the Father except through Him. We've looked at the breastplate of righteousness and how it protects our hearts because we are not good enough on our own to get to heaven. Then we looked at the gospel of peace, our shoes prepared that would prepare us and keep us calm in the tough times of life, to pray, to think, and to act like we know. Then we looked at our shield of faith, that it is our first line of defense, and our faith is what protects us from the flaming arrows of our enemy. We looked at the helmet of salvation, how it protects us, it gives us confidence, and it helps us remember who to follow because of the cool feathers on top. And then today we looked at our weapons, our sword, our prayer, and each other. So suit up. Stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God. And never, ever go into battle without your weapons. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.